I don't see the official nod there, but I see the door closing, so we got the official door closing from the true boss around the town of Mount Pleasant. In case anyone has any doubt who it is not our mayor, nor is it our town administrator. It is Nancy who keeps all of our committees engaged and on task. So Nancy closed the door. Thank you and welcome to the Economic Development Committee for the meeting for the town of Mount Pleasant. It is Tuesday, April 5th. We're running a few minutes behind. It's 10:42. We'll call our meeting to order. And our first item of business is the approval of the February 29th meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion is second. Approval of the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Very good. Our second required item on our agenda is public comments. Are there any public comments, concerns, allegations, thoughts, opinions, or anything that anyone would like to share on live stream? Very good. Hearing, seeing none. We'll move right along. Let's hear from our incredible staff member, Ms. Amy, to walk us through a report on the San Diego Economic Development Trip, which was an opportunity that the town of Mount Pleasant had in its continued relationship and partnership with Mount Pleasant Waterworks regarding a utility conference. And first and foremost, Amy, thank you for making investment, a personal investment, to be able to join and take advantage of that invitation that you're going to see was very, very fruitful and beneficial to all, especially the town. So Amy, welcome and good morning and take it away.
Thank you, thank you. Well, just thanks to the town and the Budget Waterwork for allowing the opportunity to go. I think you will find that there are a lot of information that is very pertinent for Mount Pleasant in looking at San Diego. What we'll probably do today is to hit on some highlights, and then potentially in the next meeting of this committee, look more at our comprehensive economic development strategy and maybe somehow some of the stuff that's been lower limited on time today. But I do want to point out a few things. Just starting off, San Diego is very on message. Everyone looked at the region and got a story. Why San Diego? And this is their message. Why? They've got a talented workforce. I mean, millennials are flocking there, very talented folks. They have depth of innovative ideas. They have a number of research universities. Just very innovative culture and their strategic location and geography. So something that was very impactful to me is that they all had the same message. And what I wanted to show is we have a lot of positive, similar things. And I put TBD because this is where we have to determine what is this. I mean, we have it here. This is our opportunity to articulate this message, and that's something I think we're working through right now. I see in the next few meetings, here are the opportunities that we see, here are what we've had in the past. How can we leverage some of these opportunities better in the future? So there are a lot of similarities. These are their major industries, whether it's manufacturing, or innovation, international trade and logistics, military defense, and tourism. Those probably sound very familiar to you all. I would argue that within the Charleston region, you would see very similar, you know, about a very large defense, government, healthcare industries, manufacturing, we just heard, and transportation, a lot of what's going on in the region, international trade and logistics, obviously, with the Port of Charleston here, but really actually not being far from the Port of Savannah, and then obviously tourism. So tons of similarities there. Talent is something that you hear quite often. You can't separate the conversation of economic development without the conversation of workforce development. Some things that I thought were pretty interesting, you know, San Diego area, so they have 86 universities and world-class research institutions like think tanks and all of that stuff going on. So when you see the idea of an innovation culture, they're really kind of inspiring some of these ideas as well at this institution. They have the number one largest engineering school in California. Why is that important? Well, when we're looking at some of the things in our strategies that look at high-tech, knowledge economy-type jobs, you're really looking at some engineering folks. Number two, concentration for the workforce in science and engineering and jobs in the world, and most have been in the city of the world. But when you look at us as an MSA, there are some pretty cool stats as well. And I'll let you read those, but I think it's really important, you know, number one brain gainer for U.S. metros, that's people who are moving into this area tend to be highly educated. Those are the types of people who are interested in being here, and those are the types of people who are filling these type of jobs that we're looking at as well. You'll notice, I think one of our challenges on this slide when we compare ourselves is ton grain, stem count, or what we're producing out of the local universities in terms of the quantity of folks in this particular field of that educational aspirations in the STEM field, the computer science, engineering type stuff. That's an opportunity for us. Just another quick look in terms of panelists, some numbers and statistics. We tried to look at similar stats. Their percentage of their folks who have bachelor's degrees or higher is 37%. Ours is 31%, which is actually very high. I have to tell you what the national average is, but it's pretty strong in our region, actually. Some other stuff you can look through this at your leisure, but I think we do pretty well, but there's still opportunity, as there always is, to grow. Quality of life, that's something that's very important in that partner, you know, something that we do very well, something that's important to our council and to our people. This is something that they use to sell all day long. What I thought was really interesting is because transportation is so important here, they have the number one lowest average commute time in the U.S. city, based Census Bureau and some of that data. And that was really interesting. We talked to them about that. You know, how could you think of a municipality and a metro area that large to have low commute time? When you talk about quality of life, I know that that's what's very, you know, something that I hear that's very important to our folks. And really, it's continued investment in infrastructure, smart planning. That's something that we obviously, we're aspiring to. Transportation, that's our number one legislative priority right now that we're working on. So to me, it sounds like we're working in the right direction. I thought that this was really funny. They've been ranked the number two best beer city in America. And, you know, that's really cool when you don't really think about the implications of that. Number one, it's for quality of life, but one thing I learned there that I would have never thought about previously is they see a lot of good, solid, blue-collar jobs in that industry. And we talked about that. It provides, they were able to provide much higher paying wages than you would typically see in some of the hospitality industries, and it had a very positive impact that they didn't really see coming. As you know, we obviously had Westbrook, which has been listed as the number one craft brewery in South Carolina, and then we have two others that are coming online in the next, I would say, 3 months. So the opportunity is definitely right. Just a visual of how they're selling their quality of life, and I think that we can see some of these things. International trade and port, as you've spoken, this is going to become a very important component, I believe, for our economic development strategy. As we've mentioned several times, the South Carolina Ports Authority has publicly announced that they'll be moving their headquarters to Mount Pleasant. And we see this as a very important opportunity. We want to be partners, we want to be there with them hand in hand. Some things to also think about, you know, in San Diego, you might not realize, you know, they have four ports and three international airports within 100 miles. So, one thing I'm going to mention here is looking regionally and collaborating. And while South Carolina Ports Authority is a major partner of ours, we should also be promoting the fact that we are in such close proximity to the port in Savannah. I mean, that's still, just because it's not in our state doesn't mean it's not an advantage that we have and, that we should be taking advantage of that. So I think these are some really cool opportunities. Entrepreneurship. They have over 16 incubators and accelerators that are focused on the entrepreneur ecosystem. That kind of is in line with, you know, our Hard Rock New York Center that you guys have really supported and really helped get off the ground. We have an operation InnoLabs, and we've done a business outreach here. Last week, someone did reach out to me, kind of interested in looking to play in the space as well. So while we have some of that activity, I see that as an area of opportunity for us, because I think that's where we can get businesses who are starting up and getting their roots here that are locals, that are taking their vision and creating jobs out of that. That's a real opportunity for us. So what I think, you know, has been the direction of this committee is how do we look at those, how do we continue to grow those and foster that. You know, they have one of the best places for a startup launch in America, and we've been named one of the best places for startups, and we want to continue to seek that momentum. Something else we talked about, the term I had never even heard of before we went to San Diego, is blue tech. And I think we all were kind of sitting there like, this is really interesting. They have a blue tech in the Maritime Alliance. They have a blue tech alliance. What is blue tech? And they defined it, if it's wet, it's blue. And I thought, well, that's us, right? And here we are, strategically placed. You know, we've got Shem Creek, we've got the Charleston Harbor. We've got such a deep history of just, frankly, marine economy here. And so I kind of listed out some of these items that they consider blue tech, but this alliance covers everyone from their fishers to these folks who are doing these aqua robotics. And they really see this as the future of their working waterfront. And that's something that was really interesting, is they're very committed to having a working waterfront. So what are the ways that they can preserve that? While also, they face some similar challenges. You know, obviously San Diego is a very desirable place to live. Every time you talk to someone, they want to be there, the weather. Obviously now we know about the commute. What are some ways that people can afford to live there? And these are the types of jobs that they're looking at because they see this as the future. You know, you couple your maritime location, and then you couple that with the innovation, and I think that we have this opportunity as well, and it's worth exploring that further. How can we play in that game? These are just some images that they use to kind of show blue tech. We've got the aquaculture, which is that clay, the reverse osmosis on the top right, and so some really neat stuff. What I also wanted to point out is that they had a unified vision for blue tech. Everybody from, you know, their San Diego County to, you know, the city's folks to the people at the fort, everyone came together and had a unified vision for what that was. And when you're playing on a unified team, you're unstoppable. And I think to me that spoke a lot. So the key messages for me on this trip were, we've got to think regionally. We've got to be collaborative in our nature. When companies are looking at an area, they don't see jurisdictional bounds. They see resources that they need. They see cost. They see talent. They see all of that. And we have to be able to position ourselves to play off of the strengths of our region and then also be that kind of shiny little gem in the region. And also, like I said, looking just within our area, yes, we've got the port, but then let's expand it out. We've got the port in Savannah, we've got the inland port in upstate, we've got an excellent rail system. What are the other opportunities that we're not really thinking about because we're thinking with it just in our area? Staying a message, everyone that you talk to, we had this whole group in the room from their regional EDC, to their folks from their chamber, to the folks from the port, to the folks from the city, and everyone had a unified message. They all knew the standpoint, they all worked together. And that just, you know, when we talk to them, how are you able to be successful? And it's like, you know, I guess one of their former mayors is now the chair for their big metro chamber of commerce. They've got numerous organizations. And with that happening, they've really been able to pull everyone together. You know, they've moved past the point of turf wars and are realizing that if they work together and stay in sync and the same message, they're really able to win. Transportation infrastructure investment, you know, I think we continue to make that a top priority. That's key. Working waterfront in harmony with tourism, that was just really incredible. They're very, very adamant about keeping a working waterfront that is a mix. I mean, you walk through and you have port activity and then you have this beautiful hotel and it all just works synchronously along the coast. And actually, it's beautiful that way. Something to think about. Obviously, quality of life and our push on quality of life is very much in line with economic development. And that's the key. That's what new companies, they want to locate in places that have that quality of life for the folks. So there are investments in art and culture, events, markets, the types of stuff that our cultural affairs and tourism office does. That's so crucial to our success for economic development. And then I think there are other opportunities that we really should continue to look at, and this has really been the direction of the past. We look at startups, and then how do we play in this blue tech? How do we learn more about this? I understand there's a blue tech alliance in Savannah. What are they doing? How can we look at those types of things? So I think you know, just overall, these are some kind of key messages for this, of, you know, blazing through extremely quickly. But just to give you an idea of where we saw this vision, and the value of going somewhere like that, and really seeing them all together and getting their input. And now we've got, you know, lifelong friends, and we're emailing back and forth, and we're able to share ideas, and, you know, we compete, but, you know, there's plenty of room for that business.
Amy, thank you for that, and just to reiterate, you know, certainly we know as continuous learners in any aspect or area of our lives that we want to continue to learn from best practices and gain and grow from other people and our own successes as well as our failures. And that regionalism approach and visioning with collaborating with other municipalities who are dealing with the challenges and the opportunities that we view them as. It's just good, smart, astute business practice overall. And back to the quality of life, a per example of that is quality of life, and we know that, and this will be very, very brief, quality of life is defined by whatever it is that the person is talking about quality of life. There is no right or wrong answer to what is quality of life. Someone, it may solely be based around traffic. To others, it may be having a job or whatever it is that quality of life is important to them. For us, it's D, it's all of the above that we want to be addressing and trying to take care of. But the fact, one of the facts remains that San Diego, in your slide there, that lowest average commute time of any U.S. city, because that's pretty amazing for them to be able to boast that. So what can we learn from that? Well, that's easy. Last year, Eric, on our ED trip, and Clay Duffy, our general manager of Waterworks, is in the room as well. John Byrne was on that trip as well. Last year, we were in Austin, Texas. There's a beautiful example of a city who did the polar opposite of what San Diego did with a very strong anti-growth movement that the citizen had over 10 years ago. And so they stuck their head in the sand and said, okay, we don't want to grow. We're going to stop all this nonsense and growth. And fast forward today from 10 years ago, and they're trying to, it's a traffic infrastructure nightmare in Austin, Texas. So now they're having to spend time and energy trying to catch up on 10 years of we're stopping everything. So there's a huge lesson to be learned from there. And then the other point to quickly make was the entrepreneurship. You know, so many, one of the things that's a little bit frustrating for me, committee members, and Eric and staff, is that so few people know the story and the real value of the harbor that we started right here. I mean, because these are facts. I don't make this stuff up. So we have to address this and look at this. Entrepreneurship, the talent and workforce pool that we have a significant lack of in our region. We just heard at a previous committee meeting why our bids came in at 2x, almost 2.5, 3x, because of the significant activity going on in that area and also the lack of people to work those jobs. The baby boomer generation, I heard statistics, I don't get credit for this, I heard that a major challenge coming in the near future is that 95 million baby boomers, many of which are sitting in the room, will be exiting the workforce by 2020. And there's only 40 million coming behind them with Generation X and Y combined to replace 90 million of people exiting the workforce. Because those are significant concerns that we've got to talk about that we need to get ahead of right here in the marketplace. And all that has to do with pursuing opportunities, especially continuing efforts in our secondary post-education right here in our own town in Mount Pleasant. So we've begun those conversations. We have the talented staff who's recognizing recognition is the first step in any recovery process. So we recognize there's problems, there's opportunities there. So we're well on our way, and we will continue to do that. So Amy, I know we're trying to push through this committee meeting, but I'm not going to not give it its proper credit that it's absolutely due. Thank you to the mayor and all of council members for allowing the town of Mount Pleasant to fund, wholly fund, the position that Amy has and really get serious and into the game of economic development in all aspects of our community, not just about job creation only, but economic development in every aspect and every tentacle that comes off of that, and having the wherewithal to fund and support that initiative. And Eric, congratulations on finding the rock star in Amy that we did, just like we did with our most recent CFO position. So we continue to build on an incredible team that's sitting mostly around this room here. Out of that trip, there was a John Byrne and I were able to visit firsthand. If you could just pull up your slide presentation, you had a picture that I would just like to leave up on the wall during this next discussion. I believe it was the second to last slide, the top right picture. Part of our trip out there, before quickly grabbing a flight out of there on a Saturday morning, is their Fisher Wharf that they have on one of the piers. It's on that top right picture there. It's a little small, but you can get the gist of it. That's a pier that projects out into the harbor there in San Diego. And those are tents on the right-hand side, and those are all occupied by the fishermen, yeah, we could say that, fisher people, that includes men and women, in the fishing industry and profession out in San Diego, selling their wares on Saturday morning, which is they have found to be the best result for them during the day of the week and the time of the week. They sell out very, very quickly, and I'll let John tell a story that he experienced on that. But before we move on to item number four, committee members, any comments, questions, or anything on the economic development trip to San Diego? Go ahead.
I
have
one thing.
Please.
A couple of things. In a previous life, I did all the sailing coverage for the Postal Courier. And so I was very involved in sailing. My son's a professional sailor. He has a blue job. At the county level, we are perceived as a county that is very difficult to own and maintain an expensive yacht, you know, because of the way we tax vessels like that. And one thing that we may have that San Diego does not have is that we are on a major, not the intercoastal waterway, but the capital of yachting on this side of the Atlantic is Newport, and everybody goes to the Caribbean. And the value of these yachts, the time, talent, energy, the products they meet, the things they buy are tremendous. We've all seen the mega dock. So without belaboring this point, one thing I would like to do as we move past this and maybe the next month and all that is find out what they do in San Diego about two things. One is, how do they tax yachts and things like that? Because I know people in this town who are on very expensive yachts who count the number of days that they are here to make sure that they are out of Charleston County so they're not given that tax here. And it's a shame. But if we could keep that here, you know, all the fuel, all the electronics, all the things that need to be fixed, they're those jobs that we're talking about. The other thing is, and this is not a discussion for today, but for us to look at, is what has San Diego done about the battle between, you know, we're down to basically, and I see Grace over there, basically like one boat yard locally where you can take your boat and get it fixed because the pressure, the real estate pressure, you know, we used to have a boat yard on Shem Creek, we don't have one anymore. And what have they done? It takes a strategic plan regionally so that everything doesn't become high-priced restaurants and condos, and you're pushing your water-based industry, your blue jobs, to, I don't know where, you know, to Beaufort, you're pushing it out or whatever. So that gets to a regional thing, that's a taxation thing, that's a land use thing, and we need to look at that. And my son just started a land-based blue-type job that was made possible by investment from someone who he met in the yachting industry. So there is knowledge and there is capital that we could flow into Mount Pleasant if we just keep our eye on these type of things. And I think it's great. I think there's a lot to learn. There's a lot that we can do.
Good points, and great dialogue discussion is continuing dialogue on that. John, you were there firsthand. We'll talk about the fish market as our next item, but anything overall regarding the trip that you want to recap on as well?
Just Amy touched on it. What amazed me most with the meeting with the city and the Port Authority and the Chamber was the collaborative effort. they really grow together. Tijuana's right across the street, really, from San Diego, and they work so closely with the Mexican government, and it just, you know, they, time and time again, they said that the success is due to collaborative effort. They all work together. It's like one big team, and that was really amazing. That's something I think we lack here. It's unfortunate, in my opinion, that we tend to you know, the municipalities kind of treat themselves like islands, and they're the complete opposite of that. And I think that's the key to their success, and they said that numerous times, as Amy stated.
Well, I recognize and agree with some of the sentiments that you're making there, John, and I'm excited that Mount Pleasant is going to step up to lead the change to change that situation. And we're not going to sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. We're going to, under the mayor's leadership and this council, we're going to make things happen from a regional perspective. And I couldn't be more excited about being a member of this community and being a member of this body that's going to lead that change through a collaborative effort with our leadership united on that front. Elton, any comments?
No, it's just good job.
Great, super. Any comments from Sarah, staff, anyone? Okay, Mayor?
Just great job. You know, Amy, thank you for going. Mark, thank you for representing. Good partnership with Waterworks. Let's keep it up.
Awesome. So we'll move, as a result of that, we have item number four on the agenda, which is the consideration of a fish market at Memorial Waterfront Park. And I will say that there was two sites that have been discussed on that. Was Mount Pleasant Waterfront Park as well as the farmers market on the existing farmers market on Coleman Boulevard, creating a fisherman's wharf at Mount Pleasant. And recognizing some of the comments that were said earlier, the challenges that that our all of our fishermen and crabbers, and I'll use the word fisherman, that includes anyone who gets in a boat and leaves the dock to catch anything in the water will be included in the word fisherman. We know there's crabbers down there and different types of fish as well. But our fishermen, as identified along Shem Creek, have lots and lots of challenges working against them. I would footnote, there's been a near and dear to my heart, there's been some meetings that I did not see the need to involve the town, but I did copy the mayor and on those meetings, so you were well aware of what was going on, and perhaps Grace could give a member of that community, give us a little bit of an update from that meeting that we had at the Tavern and Table, and I'll help with that as well, just for informational purposes, to identify solutions for the industry that we're trying to keep. We want to keep all of our shrimp boats, all of us want to save the fleet, for sure. But specifically, we talked about a fisherman's wharf market being created. We did have some initial thoughts regarding Memorial Waterfront Park. We reached out to, we don't own that land. We reached out to South Carolina DOT. We were told that we couldn't use that space out there. And there's been some subsequent conversations, and they have rescinded that conversation, decision rather, and said we could revisit that consider that site if we want. Staff have made some recommendation, which I think is a better solution and makes most sense. Smart people, good leaders surround themselves with smart people and listen to their advice, and that is certainly the case in this situation. And the mayor also identified the traffic count, the visibility along Coleman Boulevard, as opposed to the traffic count that would go along Harry Hallman Boulevard by Fisherman Market if it were at the Waterfront Park, is a gazillion fold at Coleman Boulevard as opposed to the Waterfront Park area. So I can continue. So we brought back some solutions to ask staff to help identify an easy, uncomplicated way for our fishermen along Save Shem Creek to have a space, a safe place, so that they're not having to do makeshift roadside stands along the through in and around the town to sell their wares. And we thought maybe a Saturday trial period. We know that the season is open. We're excited. The season is opening Monday. The 3 mile offshore shrimping season will be open as of this coming Monday. It's been most recently announced. So they're going to have an opportunity, and they're going to have a need to sell their products very, very soon. So we'd like to challenge our charge staff, rather, not challenge, task staff with under Ashley's leadership, I'm assuming is where that would go, to come up with a solution for a potential Saturday morning, maybe 8 to 12, fisherman's wharf at our Coleman Boulevard Farmers Market area. That would be very similar to what we already have in place with our farmers, with the farmers market that's on Tuesdays. We have an existing daily rental contract that could be modified for them, as well as a nominal cost for that, to do that. So I would just kind of put that out there. Is there any other component of the history of that or aspect of that that should be stated that I haven't stated, Eric or Amy?
No, sir. Just we're happy to proceed per y'all's direction.
May I ask a question?
Please, please.
Have we got any feedback from the existing seafood purveyors or businesses that, you know, we want to keep them vital as well as we want to keep the fishermen and shrimpers vital? Just wondering, is that at all controversial with them? Do they participate in it as well?
Great question. And certainly, certainly from the spirit of, I'm prepared to answer that question, from the spirit of following the same line that we always have with not picking winners and losers,
right,
making it beneficial to all. John, someone I'm not the only one speaking, you want to answer that question?
Mark and I, not in an official capacity, went and met with one of our brick-and-mortar land-based seafood vendors. And I was very pleasantly surprised at how openly he embraced the notion. And the thought is, when shrimp season's out, the brick-and-mortar guys can bring shrimp. And they can augment each other. So he was very, very excited. And this is a situation in San Diego. It's from 8 until 12 on Saturdays. Mark and I got there at about 10 after 8 Saturday morning, hundreds of people. The first vendor that I approached had already sold out of one of the items he had. I mean, it was really exciting, just the energy and, you know, the whole kind of feel. But the vendor that we reached out to, and again, we just did this impromptu and wanted to kind of get a temperature check, but he was really excited about the opportunity. So certainly they will be included. And I think it'll work well when something's out of season, then you've got the brick-and-mortar guys that truck this stuff in to fill in the holes.
This is on which product, all the product available for the market to participate in.
Are we talking about the dirt area on the other side of the waterfront park, or are we talking about maybe the parking lot?
Well, DOT was very, very specific about what area they would want us to give us permission to be in. That communication just came back. The rescinded decision just came back via email notification yesterday. And again, I think based on them originally denying, combined with the wisdom of our staff and our mayor regarding the traffic count, that it would make more sense and be logical to contain it at the existing farmers market area on Coleman Boulevard. A, because we have existing facilities, and B, the traffic count that already exists on Coleman Boulevard, and the convenience for our patrons of the Fisherman's Wharf to be able to patronize our local fishermen.
So you're talking about the farmers market area?
Farmers market area.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why.
When not waterfront park.
Yeah, that's why I originally said it should have been slashed farmers market on the right. As you're on the agenda. The other piece of that, John, that I thought was really neat from the communication we got back was the fishermen's relationship that was built and enhanced with direct communication with the marketplace. I mean, the consumers wanted to hear about the catch. They wanted to hear about, you know, the story behind the catch, not just like you go to a grocery store and give me a pound of shrimp or whatever. I mean, there was this relationship and interchange and just the unity that came between the community and the fishermen that I know exists in this town with the passion and love of the commitment for our fleet and saving our fleet along the Shem Creek area. So in addition to speaking with the bricks and mortar, We did reach out to several of the fleet. Grace Edwards from Shim Creek Fisheries is here in attendance. Grace was able to reach out to 100% of the fleet along Shim Creek, and more than half of them do not have access to a retail outlet and have been forced to do those roadside stands. So this, and some of those areas that they had available to them, we all know have now gone away as they're under construction. So Grace, would like to recognize you and allow you to have any opportunity to add to the comments that I've made so far, or maybe even just give a general update from the initiative and the support. And I know Grace hates speaking, so Grace, you're in a room full of friends here, so just be Grace.
Everything that you've said is 100% accurate, and that would be wonderful if we could have some come off. I agree that the current Moultrie site would be better, traffic flow, that type of thing, and everyone's for it and looking forward to doing it, so I hope that comes about. Thanks.
And just for the record, your address, Grace Edwards?
Yes, I'm sorry, 202 Freeman Street. No.
Thank you. Any questions for Grace or any comments on this consideration with having staff move forward with that? Are we any concerns or opposition with the staff moving forward with this opportunity?
One quick question. When you have something like a fish market, how broad in terms of vendors do you get? Is it something, are you only selling something that you caught in the water, or are people going to be selling baskets, or people going to be selling bottled water? You know, how far do you expand? And I'm sure probably the farmer's market has been a good template for something like that. But
typically, I'm not sure it's been discussed, at least not with me, but we try to keep a farmer's market, a true farmer's market, where we don't really allow in brokers. And so I would think in trying to support the industry, we wouldn't allow in brokers either. It would have to be in front of the people who have caught the catch.
But I mean, like even the farmer's market, there's prepared foods and stuff like that. Do we envision that it will have food and not that that's a problem, I'm just wondering what the scope is going to be.
Again, I'm not sure it's been discussed, and someone interrupt me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a straight up vendors.
Just
straight up, and we're trying to keep it low cost, meaning, we wouldn't be providing, unless it's council's wish, our manpower and support, which is costly for events at the farmers market. It'd just be kind of come as you are, set up your own table and attend if you have one, and we would just make the space available.
We probably need to do a little bit of marketing. I mean, maybe a banner.
Oh, the electronic piece is easy. We can handle that.
I'm talking about another banner out there maybe, so if it's going to be a weekly thing, that we at least have something out there that people can see when they drive by.
And I might suggest that we allow staff to, y'all do a tremendous job marketing farmers market. There is support for this initiative. Staff shares the same love and respect for all of our fishermen, and I know they'll make this a success. And I would like to minimize the getting into the weeds of this. It would be a trial basis that we could go see how this works out the first season. It's my feeling, based on what I saw, based on the culture and love of this community for our fishermen, this is going to be wildly successful and something that's going to be met with open arms, in my opponent. And I think to Will's question back specifically to other sales opportunity, what we saw in San Diego, which is the only frame of reference that I have running into the table, it was solely focused on fish sales only. There was not a popcorn salesperson out there, drink vendors. It was people going to talk to their fishermen that they love and buy their product and go home and cook it and eat it. And I think less is more. We should. So we have, like Eric said, for a minimum staff involvement.
And we start in right away as soon as possible.
I think we would let the staff decide that. And
I'm not sure how far away. We have to reach agreement within the school district.
But we recognize that the season is opening Monday, so time would be of the essence. But we would move as quickly as we can accordingly. Actually, just recognizing the staff in charge, anything that you'd want us to think about or consider, or either further direction, clarification, or we're good at this point?
Oh, we're good.
Are you making a motion?
Yeah, I think it'd be appropriate.
It'd be appropriate, yeah.
Do I have to make a motion to have staff proceed with looking into a fish? And we agreed on a day, it's going to be Saturday from 8 to 12, that we looked at.
Sounds like Saturday, 8 to 12, we'd have to talk about when to end it, how many months from now. And, but if I may, sir, not just to look into, but to proceed.
Proceed, okay. Okay, my motion has passed.
For a seasonal fish market, for a seasonal fish market. We have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, very good. Any further discussion on that? I think I see some movement from the floor. Is that, no? Yeah, please.
Yes, sir, thank you. Our call is ours, 755 Gypsy Lane. Enjoy hearing the discussion. Just seeking clarification. We're directing staff to start a seafood market at the farmer's market site. This is not something that's going to go to our full council. Our staff prepared to do this. I'm going to get asked questions, I know, as soon as I leave here. I saw this in the agenda coming up. I mean, I could figure it out because I talked to John since he came back from San Diego, trying to figure out the process. You know me, I'm a process guy.
The intent is a voter committee and then on to council for approval. I mean, something, any kind of additional event that y'all would like us to take on requires a support council.
And Paul, I thought that's what I did in my motion to stay.
Okay.
I do think council should definitely weigh in on this.
There's just no complaints from me. I'm just trying to, again, yes, to follow a process.
I agree.
We're going to do something that magnitude. Surely we want full council.
Elton, is that what you
seconded? Any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
No hearing, no opposed. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for being here, Grace, and thank you, committee members and staff, for all of your support on this initiative. Item number four is a consideration of a multi-county park extension.
Sure. So what you have before you, each year our partner Charleston County does a cleanup amendment and resolution for any of the properties that they have put into multi-county park. And then they reach out to the municipality when there is a particular property that is within that this particular year's would have a slight extension for Hugh Perry, you guys were there at stage in this. This extension will include your property. So. And multi-county park is a economic development tool that's typically held at the county level and that allows them to help incentivize our companies who are expanding to increase job tax credits. So that's definitely a tool that we want to have.
This is what the attachment was about in our package.
Yes, this is the attachment. Yeah. Yeah. And so what it takes is it takes a resolution on behalf of the municipality that's, you know, that probably the system.
It's a pleasure, committee. Do I hear a motion to accept the resolution? Go ahead.
So moved.
Second. All right. Any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none. Mayor, yep, please.
Marilyn Pace, 1458 Short Street. I just really wanted to say on the record a very big thanks to Steve Dykes for helping us keep Huger here. It was a big process. You know, they were at risk of losing that manufacturing facility here in the town, and the county was an excellent partner, and it is a great toolbox. So thank you guys for supporting.
Thank you, absolutely. No further questions. All in favor?
Aye.
Hearing no opposed, motion passes unanimously. And again, thank you all very much for being here. The Economic Development Committee will continue to notify you of further business meetings within our community. Please respond accordingly. Thank you. We're adjourned.